have you guys been? It seems like ages. I mean, I know you've had a few albums in between and all that, but this one seems to be coming with a bang. I've seen you in Enemy and The Guardian. What happened? I mean, where have you been?
Well, yeah, I mean, it feels good for us as well, you know. It's, like, nice to have a fresh reaction. But we did take a bit of time out, yeah, you know, we took about a year just to kind of do a bit of living, just be human beings again, because it's quiet. Being in the band, it's great, but, of course, like, yeah, when we got to the end of touring Junk of the Heart, you know, we were knackered, we were tired and wanted to do something different, so... Yeah, we just kind of took our time about it, you know. I think it made the record a lot better for it.
This record's so different from everything else that you've done before. I mean, you've worked with a hip-hop producer, which is one really big step into a different direction. Where did the idea come from?
I mean, the hip-hop thing really stemmed from Around Town, which is the first song on the album. I just was playing around with, you know, I started getting into using Logic on the computer and... I started writing with that quite a lot and used a gospel choir sample and this kind of slightly different beat, and then it just seemed like a natural thing to maybe gravitate towards someone in that world. But we didn't really think we'd necessarily do the whole album with him. It just so happened we had really good chemistry. And I mean, the album, we should say probably, you know, it's not a hip hop record.
No.
It's got flavours,
no.
But it's not like we've gone
Kutcherov raps.
MC Pritch.
MC Pritch, exactly. That could be my name. That's quite like that.
Yeah. MC Pritch.
Pritchy Pritch.
Pritchy Pritch. Grandmaster Pritch.
Oh, Grandmaster Pritch. This could go on for hours.
Yeah, could, yeah.
It was London, one of my favourite songs on the album. I like it because it's so different. It's, you know, it's got like rhythm changes and like, you know, at the end it goes into this great sing-song thing. Where did that come from?
That one is, I mean, it's just quite a rocking tune, but we started off with the drum loop again, you know, we started off with this kind of a rhythmic thing and putting loads of percussion. So it kind of started like that, and then we layered it up, and it was quite jammy, you know. I just picked out a few chords and then it was just kind of improvised on top of. So I think it's got that kind of, you know, it's got that kind of real looseness to it. Feels like it could kind of like collapse at any point. I think that's because it's just, yeah, there's a lot. I mean, there's like 1,000 guitar tracks on that, just all interweaving and improvising. I guess it's like a protest song in some way. It's really from Inflow as well. He co-wrote that song, and we sort of wrote it together. The lyrics really was his story. He was talking about he knew the family of the guy that was shot in Tottenham, which caused the riots. It just came from a conversation. It's also got that kind of protest vibe about it. It's got a little bit of venom. So it came from that, really.
It's quite interesting to hear the story from a different perspective, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, the main thing is just what the media chooses to cover. I think that was the main point about it. That's like the main crux of the lyrics is like, they don't talk about a shooting. They show pictures of the looting, you know what I mean? It's like they did talk about it for a little bit, didn't they? But it was really like just, oh, it's these kids just destroying our streets. But really,
it was a shame because it did, you know, it expanded, didn't it, to different parts of the country, and which didn't have any involvement whatsoever, which is a shame because it really did take away the real.
But when
you know,
you've got
issue,
people that are pissed off anyway about the way the government is or where
it's just
the country
it's
is, it just
a,
sparks a
yeah,
lot
of
different
and
emotions,
it,
you know?
And it showed how easy it was to happen as well. You know, this is quite worrying, but it was
mental,
uncontrollable, wasn't it?
I think a lot of people in London felt like a lot was brushed under the carpet.
I think that's the thing, though, isn't it? You know, like, yeah, it was about the shooting, wasn't it? But it really just opened up a whole can of worms, didn't it? It was just everybody was pissed off about something. Do you know what I mean? Everybody had their own reasons for it.
Another song that has struck me as well is... West Side, yeah. I like the way you kind of sing, you know, really kind of happy-go-lucky, but with a nice... Yeah, I don't know, I could spot a bit of cynicism in there when you go, like, let's start a family, you know.
It's quite tongue-in-cheek, definitely. It's definitely, yeah, you're right, there's the little man in my head that's just going... yeah, it's a fun song. It's got... But then at the same time, like, it is quite fun to sing a lyric like that, especially like live as well. You feel like this. It's a kind of I, you know what I really thought? I remember when I was writing the words and I was singing it, I was just thinking, it's so, like, such a simple thing to say, and just, and, but no, no, it's not the kind of thing. It's like bringing something right down to simplicity, you know, what you want to say to, like, someone you've just fallen in love with, and so simply that it's just, like, about coming together and stuff, you know, and it's so, it did, there's, like, a little smile inside, for sure, while singing it, you know.
I was actually wondering whether these kind of love relationships actually still exist.
They do exist. Good relationships exist.
Peter is in one, you know, we should...
But I know that they're there. It's taken me long enough to find one.
I know. Behind closed doors, though, you know. You put on a good show.
I do, yeah. Throating each other. No, ooh, okay. It's... no, not at all. I mean, obviously, you have your moments, don't you? It's never 100% perfect.
Yeah.
You know. But that's good also, isn't it? If it was, it'd be boring. So, but they do exist. I'm pretty sure they do. I could be one in, like, you know, hundreds of thousands of people that would probably say that. I don't know.
How long have you been together?
6 years on Thursday.
Wow.
Yeah, check that out.
The thing, constantly reminded.
We're going to bring him in.
No,
we all bring each other.
Yeah. I feel that this album's got more press than the last two. And I mean, you had a few band changes and all that. Yeah. Did that in any way kind of influence you? Was there a time where you thought, for goodness sake, I'm really fed off, I've had enough, I'm leaving it, calling it a day?
Difficult for me, isn't it? Because, you know, I mean, I wasn't, you know, I was around for the first record, but I didn't play on it. Well, I didn't play on the second one, did I? But I don't know. I mean, I guess because I've been, you know, we've been together for such a long time, do you know?
Yeah.
Haven't we? And of course you have moments of, like, what am I doing? Yeah, I mean, that was like heavy.
Because
you know.
For me, Pete and Hugh, it feels like there haven't been much of a change pretty much 10 years. Max Rafferty played on the first two records, but he wasn't really around for the touring. Mm. So it is a bit weird, but we feel like that's not the thing. Really, it was losing Paul and having different drummers coming in and out.
Especially because, I mean, like, you're only as good as your drummer, as they say, aren't you? So it's like, you know, you've got another
drummer. Well, there's no great band that's got a shit drummer.
No.
But there's a lot of
great
bands that have, like, a shit guitar player or a shit singer.
But you can, you know, it's like, you know, you're playing with a different drummer every tour. It's very difficult because everyone's got different technique and different style and different groove, and it's just, you know, you get used to one thing and then you have to completely change to another. And then Paul obviously came back for the third record and it's like, great, you know, we think we're finally back in the driving seat. And then it's like, no, I can't do it anymore. It's just like, mate, what's going on? On a lighter note, and everybody, yeah, of course, I think everyone's at points thought that this is just not worth the pain, but finding Alexis has made it all worthwhile. Yeah. The stress, the pain, the agony is a distant memory, I think.
I mean, maybe it, in a way, I mean, to answer the question, I mean, maybe it did give us a sense of rejuvenation and some kind of energy, the fact that we'd, like, been through a lot of shit together and that we'd we were just craving to have a situation where we had people to count on.
Deserved it, man, as well. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And it's like fighting all through it, really. Mm. Do you know what I mean? And to, you know, still create good music and come back with a fourth record, which is... And I think that's it, yeah. I think we've finally found it in the last 2 years, year and a half, 2 years with Alexis. It's probably, yeah, that's probably why the record's great. Do you know what I mean? And I think, you know, Al especially, you know, put so much of his own, you know... I mean, he's so groovy, man.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure
he is happening. Prince. Still think he's Prince in disguise.
Just disappears for like a couple of weeks.
But you're going out. You know what, man? It was so much fun going in and just like such a great energy and such a good vibe. Playing with a drummer that, you know, was there. Really, you know, he's so excited to be there and playing all these amazing new grooves. And
but we'd like, when he came in, everyone was like, hey, how you doing?
I've heard on that big weekend Radio 1 interview that you had some writer's block. Luke, is that true?
Yeah, I did, big time. I mean, I was writing songs, but I would call it writer's block because I think they were terrible. Do you know what I mean?
It's easier to say writer's block, isn't it?
It's easier to say that.
Yeah, for sure, man.
No, I think it's good to be honest about stuff like that. And Do you know what? Yeah, I just felt like, I mean, at the time it didn't feel like that, but looking back, yeah, I was really like unhappy with the material I was coming up with, and the cool thing is I didn't ever really feel any pressure like from everyone saying, you know, you need to bring in songs, you need to bring in songs, but it was just an internal pressure of like being like, I thought our third record was great, but I thought like my instinct on it was like, I just, with the when you strip everything away, the songwriting, maybe like I hadn't taken enough care over it, and the lyrics, and so there was a lot in my head of like, okay, like I want to push myself now and try and pick up something new, and so the obvious thing was to, yeah, sort of get away and go and work with some other people and try and unlock something. So, and that actually worked, you know, but it was tricky for a while. I mean, I was going to work with different people, like I go in to do sessions. I'd never done that. I'd usually written on my own. Pretty much everything with the Kooks, I'd write on my own and then bring in, and then we'd work on together. So it was quite weird for me to go into a room with people I'd never met and just be like, hey, what's up? Let's write a song. But it was like doing that and getting out of your comfort zone sort of really sparks me, and then I end up writing a lot of great stuff on my own, you know what I mean? So
I remember, like, after the first album, like, everyone was just, like, grabbing you for interviews and about the most weird things, like your relationship with who knows who and your I don't know what. And I don't know, I just felt like if I were Luke, I would just go crazy, because, you know, nobody really cares about the music, but everyone's just grabbing me for rubbish.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it got a bit tabloid.
Was there a point where you thought, you know what, it's like a bit, I don't know how to handle this?
There were some moments, I think, there were some moments that defined it, of where, like kind of what I was saying earlier as well, I think there was an internal feeling and an outside feeling. So, like, as in the way the band was perceived and the way that we were doing was, like, going in a direction that, like, I think, I speak for all of us, but yeah, I was definitely feeling like this isn't not being perceived in the way that I want to be, you know what I mean? And like, not trying to take responsibility for why that was. And you know, and the going out took over a lot, you know, going out all the time and drinking and partying and stuff like that all took over,
yeah.
Because, and of course, that's what you do, but you know, you forget, like, why is it you can do that? It's because you write songs and you got to kind of remember that and sort of try and there was definitely some like questions, asking some questions of like, why are we making a record anyway, why are we doing this, you know
why
what
not?
I mean, well, yeah, but also why, like, you know, are you doing it, like you say, like when it all gets a bit tabloid, you start to think, well, am I just writing songs to make a record so it's a product for a record label and then we get to travel, and you know, and that's not what any of us wanted to be about, you know, so you have to take a few steps back to go forward, I think, at that point. That's what we did, I think.
Your first record came out during a time where British indie rock was back. You had Razor Light, you had you guys.
Sabian.
Franz Ferdinand. Sunshine Underground.
Kaiser Chief.
Maxime Park. What's wrong with Paul Smith?
He's a great designer.
Great socks.
Go, spill the beans.
What?
No,
spill the beans. No,
that's it.
No, we're just like the schoolboys, and he's called Paul Smith, and I find it funny. Also, like Maximo Park really remind me of like really dodgy indie discos in Brighton, and like drinking Sambuca for like 90p a shot. Like,
yeah, that's great.
What was that big song they had? I better need some pressure. That one.
I don't remember. Really.
it just gives me like memories of that.
They're
like,
still a band.
I think
they still
are.
Kick around.
Yeah.
They played
like
Cologne the other week.
Did they?
Yeah.
Oh, pretty big in Europe still.
Actually, no, you're right. I just saw a picture in the last.
Thing is, like, these bands, I mean, lots of them died. I mean, a peaceful death. Some of them a bit painful death. Mm-hmm. And you guys still remained and kind of kept it going. Was there a time? I mean, I wonder how you could survive during that time. I mean, during all the
we were younger though.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You got to think, us like probably us and Arctic Monkeys were kind of like we're the same age, whereas those other bands, I think, you know, they were all a bit older. And I think we're doing a fourth album when we're like, you know, before we're 30. But no, I just, you know, I do think because we're younger, you know, it was like, we still feel, I mean, I'm not trying to take away from those other guys. I'm just saying, like, you know, we still feel really young. We still feel like we got a lot to say and a lot to do and a lot of evolving to do, even though we have been around for 10 years because we started when we were 18. So, you know what I mean? It's like, I think that's a big part of it for us. But also, I think we've got the hunger to like go and do something different, and that's what we've done on this record. I think every record we've done a different record.
But we changed, you know. I mean, although it's not been as dramatic as this record, but like, you know, I think on Junk of the Heart, you know, we certainly went, you know, in a different direction. It wasn't, you know, it's the stepping stone to the fourth record, I guess. Whereas I don't know, a lot of those bands kind of didn't, did they? Kind of,
yeah.
Stayed the same, and I'm not saying that it's a public's decision to kind of wash the hands of them. I just think as a band as well, I think if we'd have made a third record which sounded like Kong, or then, you know, I don't know if we'd still be doing it, but like, you know, I think we'd probably all just go, do you know what, this ain't for me anymore. Yeah. I'm bored.
Yeah, but it's also, yeah, I mean, the other thing is, you don't, you know, you can easily, there's lots of bands, not saying people, but there's lots of bands that tour and do all right, but their music isn't exciting anymore. You know what I mean? And we were really, I think our music is, and that's something for us personally inside. Like, it has to be something exciting on this record. I have to be doing something that like makes like. I mean, now I mean it's so cool for us. Cause, like, I mean, our new shows, like, it's just everyone's buzzing. I mean, like, we are buzzing on stage together. We're just going like, this is ridiculous. We're so like engaged with it. There's no kind of like holding back or anything.